Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
It seems like we have a lot of people here. I haven't seen this many people here in a very long time, so it must be something special going on. So before we get started, I'd like to caution everyone to go ahead and put your cell phone down or off so that we can have respect for everyone. We have the chair, Mr. Thompson. He's excused for this meeting, and Mr. Dexter Thompson, Dexter Edwards, is on the telephone. I'm going to ask Mr. Reverend Connors to say the invocation, then we'll say Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Everyone, please stand.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for your love and your compassion for each one of us. We ask you, Lord, now as we go forward, that you allow the commissioners to have the wisdom and knowledge that is needed to continue to guide and lead Duplin County. We thank you for 269 years of service here, Lord, that you formed this county and allowed great things to transpire here. And Lord, we ask you now that you continue to let things greater and greater to increase here in Duplin County. We ask you to protect our law enforcement, to protect our EMS and fire officers, and allow them to be able to do the work they do and feel comfortable at doing it. These things we ask tonight, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So again, I welcome you. Today is Monday, April 15th, 2019. Very special day. Hope you file your taxes. Okay. Oh, if anyone wants to make a public comment, we have a sign-in sheet over here. And if you'd like to make a comment, you have to sign up first. Okay. Does anybody have anything to add on the consent agenda?
I don't.
I don't.
What about you, Mr. Davis?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if it pleases the board, I would like to add Ms. Tracy Chestnut, your finance officer, to discuss an amendment to the contract to audit county accounts. And also, I would like to add the county attorney and your tax administrator for a closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3 for legal matters.
Okay. Dexter, do you have anything? Dexter, can you hear us?
Hello?
Mr. Edwards?
Yeah, can the phone be moved a little bit closer to you? I can hear David real good, but I could not hear you.
All right. I'm speaking to the mic. So I need a motion. Okay, Dexter, do you have anything to add to the consent agenda?
Do not, but I make a motion that we accept it with the add-ons that Mr. Davis has added.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, public comments.
Mr. Chairman, no one has signed up for public comments.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time for you to speak and advise the board of any concerns that you may have. If nobody signs up, this is your chance. Hearing none, seeing none, public comment session is closed. we move on with our agenda. Let's call it Ms. Melissa Brown, please come up.
So everybody breathe in and breathe out, because I know you're anxious and so am I. That worked real well, didn't it? Tonight, on behalf of the Duplin County Board of Commissioners, family, and fellow community members, we're here to celebrate the 2019 Duplin County Governor's Volunteer Service Award recipients. The North Carolina Commission on Volunteerism and Community Service has awarded 10 recipients in Duplin County. The Governor's Volunteer Service Award honors people who have shown concern and compassion for their neighbors by making a significant contribution to their community through volunteer service. The service awards were established in 1979. Award selections are based on the nominees' volunteer efforts, commitment of time, accomplishments, community impact, and enhancement of the lives of others. Nominations are received and evaluated at the county level. The county may submit up to 10 nominations to the commission to be considered for the Governor's Volunteer Service Award. I was contacted by a representative in the governor's office asking for a contact to commit as the award coordinator for Duplin County. According to the representative, the last recipient awarded from Duplin County was in 2010. I agreed to accept the role as the award coordinator this year, as I know personally, within our department, volunteers are vital to the overall success of every department. A total of 13 nominations were received from Duplin County, but only 10 nominations were allowable to submit to Raleigh. All nominations were worthy of the volunteer recognition, which is representative of the great volunteers active in Duplin County. In addition to the Governor's Volunteer Service Awards, one of the 10 nominees may be recommended as a nominee for the Medallion Award, the state's highest level of volunteer recognition. Nominations for the Governor's Medallion Award are reviewed and evaluated by a statewide review panel that determines the recipients of the award. This award is given to the state's top 20 volunteers. As I call your name, please come to the front and I will share briefly some of the information submitted on the nomination form sent to the state. After I finish the brief remarks, the chairman and the county manager will present a certificate and pen from the governor's office. In addition, the Duplin County Board of Commissioners will provide a handshake of congratulations for your service to Duplin County. After all presentations are complete, we ask that all recipients come up front for a group photo opportunity. Everybody with me? Yes!
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Woodrow Woody Brinson, Jr. Stand right there in the front, front and center. Mr. Woodrow Woody Brinson, Jr. was nominated as a senior community volunteer serving in the youth, cultural, health, and human service categories. Mr. Brinson has served in volunteer capacities for over 50 years, including as a volunteer fireman, active in youth baseball programs, and forming the Kenansville JCs in 1972 and the Kenansville Area Chamber of Commerce in 1977. He continues to be an active supporter of these organizations, plus currently active in historic preservation, local museums, and with services for the aged volunteer and leadership positions. Mr. Brinson also is the recipient of the 2019 Governor's Medallion Award. He has exhibited a lifelong commitment to volunteerism and community services. Time will not permit the countless ways Mr. Brinson has given back to the town of Kenansville and Duplin County. Perhaps there is not a better way to understand his lifelong volunteerism commitment other than to recognize that he has lived life by the JC Creed that was instilled in him so many years ago, which states, service to humanity is the best work of life. And because he is the medallion winner, he also has a letter from Governor Roy Cooper. State of North Carolina, Office of the Governor, Dear Mr. Brinson, it is my pleasure to congratulate you on receiving the Governor's Medallion Award for volunteer service. This honor is certainly a cause for celebration. I join your family and friends in commending you for your many contributions to our state. North Carolina is proud to have people such as you who are committed to making our communities the best they can be. The Governor's Medallion Award is a testament to the lasting effect of your outstanding volunteer work and altruism. Thank you for your leadership and service. My best wishes for continued success and happiness in all of your future endeavors. With warmest personal regards, I am very truly yours, Roy Cooper. Mrs. Robin Grotke from Cowan Museum of History and Science nominated Mr. Brinson.
Mr. Brinson, congratulations. Here's a letter from Governor Cooper.
That's his pen. He will receive his medallion May 6th from Governor Cooper in Raleigh.
Thank you for that, Captain. We'll call you back up.
I can attest that Mr. Brinson is he commits his service to the county. He's handing out feast days this weekend.
Our next recipient is Mrs. Patsy Quinn, and accepting on her behalf is her son, Mr. John Quinn. Ms. Patsy Quinn was nominated as a faith-based entity community lifetime achievement volunteer, serving and working with Word of Faith Ministries in disaster preparedness and health and human services. Mrs. Quinn is the director of the Word of Faith Ministries, a nonprofit organization that provides assistance to those in need in Duplin and surrounding counties. She is always expanding the mission to meet the needs of thousands of nameless, faceless, and sometimes forgotten individuals. In the aftermath of disaster, she and volunteers with the Word of Faith Ministries assisted 300 families from rural areas and low-income families. Her example of working tirelessly for all people is noteworthy. Mrs. Quinn's direction and leadership continues to reach far outside Duplin County. Because of collaborations with Mrs. Quinn and Word of Faith Ministry volunteers, other nonprofits gain wisdom and families are served. Reverend Joe Anthony Jackson, moderator of 27 churches spanning 5 counties, nominated Mrs. Quinn.
Sir, on behalf of Ms. Patsy Quinn, this is the Governor's Award for Volunteer Service. Congratulations.
Reverend Joe Anthony Jackson, would you stand, please? That's who nominated. The next group will not be here tonight. They'll be recognized on May 6th, and that is the Facin Scout Troop 48. So I just wanted to mention that. Duplin Stanford Extension and Community Association Group.
Duplin Stanford Extension and Community Association.
Are y'all coming? Duplin Stanford Extension and Community Association was nominated as a group serving in the Health and Human Services category. This volunteer organization has received awards for 20,000 plus community service hours. Commonly known as the ECA, the group works with several organizations in Duplin County. ECA members provided kitchen supplies and necessities for battered women seeking refuge at Sarah's Refuge. Members knit hats for the elementary schools in the county as well as lap throws for the homebound seniors. ECA members collected items to give to residents and distribute in local facilities. Members serve on state and district levels, showcasing their superb leadership skills representing Duplin County. Ms. Sydney Johnson and Mrs. Amanda Hatcher with the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Duplin County Center nominated the group.
Ma'am, I'll present you with the Governor's Award for Volunteer Service. This is from Governor Roy Cook. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amanda, I think you're in the hallway.
Congratulations and thank you for all you do. Congratulations.
Mr. James M. Donahue III.
I think someone is coming.
James M. Donahue III.
Mr. James M. Donahue III was nominated as a senior community volunteer in the Health and Human Services category. Mr. Donahue began delivering homebound meals for Duplin County Services for the Aged in August of 2008. He has been faithful in his role as a homebound meal volunteer for 11 years. He strategically plans appointments around his scheduled day of delivery and fills in vacancies when others are unable to deliver. Mr. Donahue serves as a mentor to other volunteers, assisting the homebound meal coordinator by training new recruits. In June 2014, Mr. Donahue, in addition to delivering meals, added on the Housing Home Improvement volunteer role. He is one of the team project leaders for building wheelchair ramps for seniors. He incorporates the younger generation in the build projects, which provides him with an additional opportunity to mentor to our future generation. Mr. Donahue is resourceful and willing to find additional resources when the agency has exhausted funds. His love and compassion for others encourage those he encounters. Ms. Altheria Cornelius, Homebound Meal Coordinator, nominated Mr. Donahue.
Okay, Mr. Donahue, this is a Governor's Award from for volunteer service from the Governor Roy Cooper of the state of North Carolina. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir. Congratulations and thank you.
Mr. Philip Ray Anderson. Mr. Philip Ray Anderson was nominated as a community volunteer, demonstrating an outstanding commitment to mentoring and educating the youth in Duplin County. Mr. Anderson has served as chairman of Kenansville Youth Recreation and Kenansville Youth Baseball for the past 5 years. Through his efforts, the town and the area youth recreation programs have expanded and new programs started. Over 500 youth and youth adults have benefited due to his dedication and leadership. In 2018, through his leadership, programs have risen to new heights. Youth football was started again in Kenansville after being dormant for over 10 years. In 2016, Mr. Anderson chaired the NC Dixie Youth Baseball State Majors Tournament, which entailed coordinating over 40 volunteers and participation of teams from throughout North Carolina. Mr. Anderson served as Kenansville Elementary School PTO president for the past 5 years and served on the local school advisory board for 7 years. Jubilant County and Kenansville are a better place because of Mr. Anderson's devotion to our youth and citizens. Mr. Woody Brinson, citizen of Jubilant County, nominated Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson, on behalf of the commissioners, I'd like to say that you're one of us and you represent the county well. And you wear a lot of hats. I've never seen you with a hat on. But on behalf of the Governor's Award for Volunteer Service, Governor Roy Cooper, congratulations. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Francisco Rivas Diaz.
Oh, here's my guy.
I call it Pete. I don't know where it comes from.
Mr. Francisco Rivas Diaz was nominated as a community volunteer demonstrating an outstanding commitment to mentoring and educating the youth, assisting in disaster preparedness, and assisting those in need through Health and Human Services. Mr. Rivas Diaz has distinguished himself as a giving and caring volunteer who does everything he can to better his community. He actively serves in a volunteer capacity on the following boards and organizations: the North Carolina Governor's Advisory Council on Hispanic Latino Affairs, the Rose Hill Medical Center Board of Directors, an advisory committee member of the NC State Employees Credit Union Board, President-elect of the Jubilant County Rotary Club, a member of the Town of Wallace Mayor's Advisory Committee, a member of the Jubilant County Community Foundation, and lastly with disaster relief at the Poston Baptist Church and Transfiguration Catholic Church. Mr. Rivas Diaz serves his community in many ways, and all the while, he is a strong and positive role model for Hispanic Latino youth who respect his mentorship. He has the philosophy that he is obligated to give back because of the many opportunities he has been given because of the hard work and treating everyone with respect. Mr. Brian Bullard and Ms. Joanne Stroud nominated Mr. Rivas Diaz.
Francisco Rivas Diaz is another one that wears a lot of hats, but you don't ever see him with a hat. But I'm presenting you with the Governor's Award for Volunteer Service. Congratulations and thank you for your service.
Thank you. Commissioner
Brady. When do you sleep?
Do you sleep?
Not much.
Thank you so much.
The next one is Miss Nancy Warner, but she's not going to be able to be with us tonight. But I did want to share her story, and we'll give that to you, Joe. Miss Nancy Warner was nominated as a senior community member with Perseverance in Volunteerism. Miss Warner has overcome significant obstacles in order to engage service to the local animal shelter. Miss Warner contributes 190 hours a month at the local animal shelter. For the past 7 years, she's been committed to finding homes for animals rescued. She is consistent with her efforts trying to find resources for the animals. Ms. Warner takes photos of every animal, compiles information about the animals, and submits the information on the website. In addition to all of the time and effort spent, she uses her own personal resources and funds to transport and take care of the animals. Ms. Warner has assisted officers directly with staging and tagging animals with a puppy mill case. She coordinates rescues for animals, transports animals to the vet, and is currently assisting with the fundraising efforts toward constructing a new animal shelter. Ms. Warner demonstrates an outstanding commitment to volunteering with and for animals. Ms. Bobby Kennedy with Duplin County Animal Services nominating Mrs. Warner. Mr. Jackie Newburn. Mr. Jackie Newburn was nominated as a senior community member volunteer, demonstrating an outstanding commitment to assisting in disaster preparedness, response, recovery, as well as a commitment to volunteering with and for the animals. Mr. Newburn has volunteered at the local animal shelter for 10 years, volunteering 130 hours a month. He assists with cleaning the shelter and enjoys interacting with the people and the animals. During the disaster situations, he is always available to assist in whatever capacity he has been given. It was said from community members he never says no, and the community adores him. Ms. Bobby Kennedy with Duplin County Animal Services nominated Mr. Newburn.
Newburn, this is the Governor's Award for Volunteer Service from Governor Roy Cooper. Congratulations, Jim and the Board of Commissioners. Thank you so much.
Ms. Karina Elaine Scott. Ms. Karina Elaine Scott was nominated as a senior community member volunteer, demonstrating an outstanding commitment to volunteering with and for the animals at the local animal shelter. Ms. Scott contributes 125 hours a month transporting animals to a safe place in her personal vehicle. In the last 6 years, Ms. Scott has traveled extensively with destination routes to include as far away as Virginia and South Carolina. Ms. Scott gathers photos of animals and works tirelessly to rescue, reunite animals with their owners, and to secure placement with adoptive owners. Ms. Bobby Kennedy with Duplin County Animal Services nominated Ms. Scott.
Scott, on behalf of the Governor Roy Cooper, he presented you with the Governor's Award for Volunteer Service, so thank you very much.
Thank you. So at this time, we're going to ask all the recipients to come up for a photo opportunity.
Excuse me. I'm just sitting here watching all of this go by, and it reminds me that God gives us all free will, and they have the free will to give of themselves at the end of the day. And I think that is really magnificent.
Why don't you put me the full chair?
Congratulations.
We're going to pull on right here.
There's a star.
We're going to need a line to go up behind the bench chair. Please.
Push those chairs up.
Yes, so you stay here. Meg,
good evening.
All right.
Trevor, I got you.
Did you hear me giving the awards out?
What were we saying about getting all these folks on the back row?
Okay, so you're all together. Hold on for a minute and I'll let you do that. Hold on for a minute.
Come back here.
If everybody could be quiet for a minute. On behalf of the county commissioners, I'd like to thank all of you for your service and what you have done for this community. And I'll give Mr. Edwards a chance to speak. Go ahead, Dexter.
Okay, I would like to say congratulations to all of you and thank you so much for all of your services that you have done for Lincoln County. People like you is what makes the county and makes me proud to be a commissioner. Again, thank you so much.
Good. All right. Y'all look right up here, please. I'm going to take a few.
All right. That was really good, guys. Okay. 3, 2, 1. One more. 3, 2, 1. Good.
So congratulations to the 2019 Governor Volunteer Service Award recipients.
Commissioner Edwards?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just making sure you can hear us.
Yes, Yeah, I'm sorry. The call dropped and I tried to call back, but I got a dispatch machine, so thank you for calling me.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
No problem.
As soon as I get commissioners back.
Okay.
Mr. Latson, Mr. Doug Grady.
Miss Hattie, come on up here to the front row, please.
That way you'll be ready.
What's the deal out there?
I thought he was behind me.
You can sit right there and then I'll call you.
He's coming.
Miss Hattie Parker, your turn. But for different reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. So you turn that way so everybody can see your pretty face. We first met Miss Hattie Parker when she came to our office and she was working in what they call the Title V program. She may appear tonight timid and shy, but she is so witty and so funny. I can't even explain it. The staff quickly decided that she'd be a great fit in the in-home aid program, and she was hired in 2007. Miss Hattie was a mentor to the new recruits and a joy to her clients. She actually served clients younger than herself. When we celebrated her last birthday, we asked her for any words of wisdom that she wanted to share with us because she's such a hoot. And this is what she said, Miss Hattie, and you know I'm telling the truth. She said, any day you wake up on this side of the dirt, it's a great day, right? So I'm going to let Frankie share a few words, and then we're going to present you your retirement plaque.
Miss Hattie, one of the things that I really admired about you most of all is that you were the kind of person that never complained, no matter how many times we rescheduled you. Because we couldn't help it, you knew what needed to be done, and you went into the home and did it. And the in-home aides had a lot of respect for you because you encouraged them along the way. So we're just glad that we had the opportunity to work with you, Ms. Hattie.
Gifford County retiree.
Okay.
Presented to Hattie Lou Parker, services, that's your name?
Mm-hmm.
Hattie Lou Parker, services to the age in appreciation for your commitment, devotion, and service to the citizens of Duplin County, August 12, 2013 to August 31st, 2018. Look over there and you'll be a movie star.
Miss Hattie.
They want to shake your hand.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you for your service to the county of Duplin. So much. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You're blessed.
Okay, Ms. Brown.
Okay. So lastly, I'm here to request to reclassify a part-time in-home aide position to a full-time position.
So moved.
Okay. I've got a motion and proper second to approve to reclassify a permanent part-time in-home aide position to a full-time in-home aide position for services with age. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Miss Amanda Hatcher.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here tonight to introduce some new faces at the Duplin Cooperative Extension Office. We have Della King. Della is our new field crops agent. She came to us from Sampson County and is now glad to be in her home county of Duplin where she grew up. Also have Lewis Cruz. He is with the Farm Worker Program. We'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a little bit. We have Javier Rivera. They're doing a Farm Worker Program, and this program is supported through a grant from Philip Morris International through NC State. So I'm going to let Javier tell you a little bit about the program.
Yes, first and foremost, thanks for having us tonight. So, our program is the Farm Worker Health and Safety Education Program. Luis Cruz is actually the lead educator. He started 5 years ago in one county. We've now grown to 8 counties with 3 educators. And the goal of the program, as you've heard, it's grant-funded. We have 5 components. And all of them with the objective of bridging the agricultural community together, and that means growers, farm workers, families, and also cross-programming with the programs at Extension and making sure that the Hispanic community is aware of those programs. In addition, the way we do this is through on-farm trainings, and those trainings are class style, which help the workers really retain the information, which helps them be safer, which increases production. And again, we like to say that it's a win-win because that's the idea. We help the grower meet the requirements while providing a better training that helps everyone. And we're excited to be in Duplin this year. Any words, Luis?
Well, I just would like to add that we're as Javi said, we're excited to come to Duplin County. We're excited to work with the farm community, farmers, farm labor contractors, and farm workers, especially the Spanish-speaking community. And the farm community. So if you see us out on the farm, you know, we're new to the county, we're still getting situated, just feel free to say hi to us and give us directions, because we might get lost. We might get lost in the rural county, right? So we're covering all of Duplin County. So we're currently in 8 counties in eastern North Carolina, but we are a lot out on the farm. We're visiting farmers and workers, and we're helping farmers with training compliance. So we're excited to be here.
Not to mention the training's free as well. Yeah. So that's key.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you for
having
us. Do you have any further questions?
Are you going to say anything?
Sir.
Well,
all I can say is I did my first 15 years in Sampson, so I did other 15 in Duplin. How
about that? Okay. Well, we'd like to welcome you here in Duplin County with open arms. And if you ever need any assistance, I'll just get up with Amanda. She knows how to do this with us. But thank you so much for being here and wanting to work here.
Thank y'all for your time tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Norwood.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I'm here again to ask to fill a vacant position. One of my groundskeepers, well, actually, both of them, they're both no longer working here, and I'm asking to fill that position.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and second to approve to advertise and fill a vacant groundskeeper position in the maintenance and facilities department. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against say nay. Motion carries, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. Ms. Donna Brown, is she here? Thought I saw her.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
In the past, Duplin County Water has had a water line project and improvements going on, and an engineer firm was on contract to provide the services. At the current time, Duplin County Water does not have any water system improvement projects, and therefore we do not have an engineer firm on contract. The system will need to have some improvements made in the future, such as water line improvement extensions and SCADA system upgrades, which will require an engineer to assist in getting the job done. So tonight I'm here to ask permission to advertise to secure an engineer firm to assist Duplin County with the future projects.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and proper second to approve to allow Ms. Donna Brown, Utilities Director, to advertise for engineering services for Duplin County. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. The motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Good, Ms. Angel Venisi. She here?
I think she had an accident with her hand. I think she's okay, but I don't think she'll be here tonight. We'll table this to the next meeting if that's okay.
Make a motion we table it to the next meeting.
Okay. I need a motion for that.
I made a motion to table it to the next.
And I second it.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second to table this for the next meeting. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries to table to the next meeting. Okay, Mr. Josh Rayner, please come up.
Josh was looking forward to coming tonight, but we got a load of jet fuel that came in late, so he's receiving a load of fuel, so I'm standing in for him tonight.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Board. Tonight, come before you to request permission to approve a budget amendment that you have in your package that would transfer funds that's available within the airport project budget to a capital outlay item to purchase a M4000 self-service fuel terminal. It's not only a self-service fuel terminal, but it is our full-service terminal. It's the terminal that we use to swipe all the cards that fuel the airplanes, all of our based customers, as well as our transit customers. The model that we have is going away, and they're not going to offer service after June 30th of 2019 for that system. This item has been approved, reviewed, and approved by the Duplin County Airport Commission. We make that recommendation to you tonight.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and proper second to approve to purchase the M4000 self-service fuel terminal for the Duplin County Airport and authorize a budget amendment in the amount of $14,755.31. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Ms. Angie Quinn.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Evening. I'm here on another stream debris removal project. We had a bid open on March 28, 2019, and Zula Marine Services of Wilmington was the low bid in the amount of $43,500. And I would like to request that you award Zulu Marine Services the contract for stream debris removal.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and proper second to approve the award to the stream debris removal project contract to Zulu Marine Services Incorporated and allow the chairman to sign. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Ms. Sarah Stroud, you here?
Yes.
How are you? Good to see you again.
Good to see you here.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for allowing me just a few minutes. I know you've had a full agenda tonight, and I'll try to be as brief as I could possibly be while giving you the information that we need to share. So again, I apologize for having my back to the commissioners, but we'll work from the screen. So as I said, I'm Sarah Stroud, and I'm the CEO at East Point Human Services, based out of Duplin County in Beulahville. And I'd like to recognize one of our board members, Ms. Rebecca Judge, and she is the Duplin County appointee. So thank you so very much for being here and always supporting East Point. So as I said, we'll run through it fairly quickly, but please also stop me if you have any questions at all. I'm going to cover a variety of topics, a little bit about our operations, some of the things that we've done to demonstrate our leadership in our 10 counties, talk a little bit about providers and provider services, because I know that's something that's always of interest in the county, how we invest back in Duplin County, and then end by giving you an update on Medicaid transformation. Some of this you will have seen before, and this will be updated numbers, but then we'll really focus in on Medicaid transformation. So just an operational update for you. Currently we have just under 300 employees. We have 284. And out of those 284 employees, 58 of those employees work in Duplin County. And 29 of the 58, exactly half, live in Duplin County. And just to give you a little bit about what those numbers represent in terms of money in the county, for the 58 employees, that represents about $4.8 million in salary. For the 29 employees, that's $1.7 in salaries and benefits. So a lot of money here in Duplin County via East Point. Our current budget, and this is for fiscal year 19, stands at $317 million, with almost $277 million of that in Medicaid funding. I always like to talk a little bit about our fund balance, because sometimes people see that $112 million and think, oh man, East Point's loaded with cash. It is a lot of money, but after you take away for all the things that we have to have things designated for, we come down to $13.9 million in unassigned fund balance or unrestricted fund balance. That amount of money was as of December of 18. Currently, that number, I believe, is just like $12.2 million. So that number's coming down as well. And that does not even represent a month of operational expenses. So just to put that in perspective, that's kind of our working capital that we have. Any questions about that for you? Okay, and I don't know if you can... Oh, sure.
Back up slide one.
Oh, you're asking for a lot then.
Okay.
And I can certainly give
if you can send it
get a
to
copy
me,
of
I'll
the presentation so you don't have to spend your time making notes. How about that? So on this pie chart, you'll see Duplin County's kind of the light blue on the far right. And this represents your population out of our 10 counties. We currently serve 10 counties in eastern North Carolina, and you can see they are listed. Duplin County makes up about 8% of that population. And then in contrast, still on the right, but a different shade there, of claims that we paid in fiscal year 18, that was about 7% of our claims. And when I first looked at that, I was questioning what the difference was. But then I went to the actual claims we paid, and you can see between fiscal year 17 and fiscal year 18, there was actually an increase in services that we paid for just almost $450,000 more. And there are the three categories of funding that we have. We have Medicaid B, we have Medicaid C, which is the developmental disability money, and then state funding. And then in the box below, that's the amount of the contributions we received from Duplin County, and that's at $150,000. The maintenance of effort for Duplin County, as you probably know, is $224,474. So currently under the maintenance of effort, and that's where those funds go. Each year we send a letter to the county manager asking if you want to retain the funds in those areas or if you want it moved differently. So in fiscal year 18, the number of members that received a Medicaid service just over 1,900 out of a total Medicaid population of 17,341 in Duplin County. Then, as you know, we also serve the indigent, and we do that through state funding, and we serve 502 people. We do have an access to care call center that operates 24 hours, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, and they handled 1,787 calls from Duplin County members in fiscal year 18. And I think it's interesting always to look at that number, the calls, versus the actual members that received a population, a service, and it winds up pretty close, but with actually more services provided than we actually received calls coming in. And that could be because some members were already established in receiving services in the system. So that's just a really quick recap of the numbers for Duplin County. I also want to highlight some of the things that East Point is doing really well, because I want you to know about your managed care, behavioral health care services in Duplin County. These are all benchmarks that we are evaluated on from the state. We have to answer our calls coming into the call centers within 30 seconds, resolve complaints within 30 days, get people coming out of the hospitals assigned to care coordination. And one of the most important is to process the claims that we receive from providers within 30 days. We truly do value our relationships with our providers, and our ability to turn their claims around that quickly is what keeps them in business and providing services for the members we serve. So we exceed all those categories in the state benchmarks. Another item that we are really pleased to tell you about is this consumer perception of care survey. This is a survey that's done every year. It's adults are surveyed, youth surveyed, families are surveyed. And they're asked about your LME MCO, which is what East Point is, and about service provider access, outreach, responsiveness. And this year, again, our results echo what we had in fiscal year 2017 that we were extremely proud of. And without going into all the detail of this survey, because you would probably be ready to go home long before I would finish that, the bottom line is East Point continues to outperform all the other six LME MCOs in the state by every measure. And I'm just going to demonstrate this kind of visually at two or three slides here. The purple line is East Point, and that's the results on our survey. So you can see the other lines represent the other six MCOs, and we're it's not even close. This one was particularly on, were you given a choice of providers? And that's one of our requirements. We have to offer choice. And so we're doing that very well, according to the member survey. Was a service provided, your first service in a time frame that met your needs? Again, East Point is the purple line. Did your LME MCO give you as much information as you need? Again, purple line. And the last one I'm going to share as an example is, do you know how to make a complaint with your LME MCO? That's really important if someone has a concern to know how to get in touch with us and voice that complaint so we can resolve it. And like I said, our results were almost identical to what we saw in fiscal year 17. These results just came out in the last two or three weeks. Okay, and then to move into an update on our provider network. Currently, there are 7 provider agencies that are physically located in Duplin County. There's 1 licensed independent practitioner and, of course, your hospital. But in our network, we have 340 providers that can serve any of our members. One of the things we've done for our providers this year, effective in February of 18, is we did a $2 million rate increase for our outpatient providers. They had not received a rate increase in a number of years, and that affected 2 of those 7 providers in Duplin County. But I think to give a fuller picture, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that not all of our services are now provided in bricks and mortar buildings. These services are provided in community settings, so we go to the people and provide a number of different services. One I might highlight is the second one from the bottom, mobile crisis management. If someone finds themselves in crisis, they can call our 1-800 number to the call center, and if the call is emergent, if someone is in dire need, then services are dispatched and they're required to be out there within under 2 hours. So that's a really important service in our counties. Currently, there's no wait list for behavioral health services in Duplin County. We are in process. We released a request for information a month or so ago, and we are in process of securing more substance use services for Duplin County. Those have been evaluated, and I expect an announcement to be made about that in the next week or so. So look for that, because we did find that though there's no wait list, the need for substance use services continues to grow, not only in Duplin, but in our other counties as well. And we're using some of our Medicaid savings that we've had over the last several years to reinvest back in the community. There's other ways we invest in the community too, and I want to recognize Melissa Reese, who is with us tonight. Melissa is your community relations person in Duplin County. She's a fairly new face in Duplin County, maybe a year, a little more.
Okay.
That's Melissa. And I'm gonna brag on her a little bit because a lot of these things are the result of Melissa's work in your county. These numbers, as Melissa was reiterating to me before we started, go back to fiscal year 18, and so we've actually seen some increases since Melissa's had VIX on the ground here. But I think it's pretty substantial, 13 community events and presentations that reached over 1,000 people. That's a lot, including, and you can see the different ones. I won't read them to you. We also are very involved in the crisis intervention training, which is hugely successful to first responders. In fiscal year 18, we trained 4. I believe you said, Melissa, we had 15 at the last one from Duplin County, so that's huge. And such an important thing that you can do to support behavioral health in your county. This Duplin County Substance Use Coalition, too, I think that's kind of a ongoing work with our folks and I think the Sheriff's Department. Anything you want to say about that, Melissa? I know we just had a summit in the last week or two.
Yeah, we just had our opioid summit last week. Trevor was there. We had Commissioner Thompson to come. Commissioner Dow spoke, opened it up for us. We had about 75 people to come. 14 vendors, county manager came as well. Very well supported. Our speakers were great, lots of great information. We had 3 different TV stations come, WITN, Spectrum, Channel 9, the Duplin newspaper was there as well. Just got a lot of great feedback. We continue to do great things in Duplin County, working on underage drinking and work with the youth. We just had our meeting this afternoon, actually, our coalition of Commissioner Dow is a part of that committee as well. So we're excited. Great things are coming. It has only been about a year that we've had the coalition. I started it with Lieutenant Scott Kennedy with the Sheriff's Department. We slowed down a little bit during the hurricane season, but back up and running in full force. We actually got a grant through Community Impact of North Carolina of $12,000 that ended the end of April. I was able to get more money, $12,000 more, until October to be able to spend in Duplin County to help us. Great things happening.
Yeah, and I love hearing the support of the county commissioners too, and the family members, so thank you for that. And then the last thing, not to forget, 163 Narcan kits delivered to help prevent the overdose. Okay, this is the last thing that I'm going to talk about, and it's a lot of information, so please slow me down, ask questions if you have them, and we'll try to work through this together. So Medicaid transformation. In one sentence, Medicaid transformation in North Carolina is the integration of the physical with the behavioral health across Medicaid population. If you don't take anything else away, that's it. As you know, East Point currently manages, like an insurance company, the behavioral health care for Medicaid recipients. What the state of North Carolina is doing is adding in the physical and behavioral health management for everything. So the way this is going to work is it's going to be divided into two different plans. There will be standard plans, and there will be tailored plans. Standard plans will be essentially commercial insurance companies, like there have been four already awarded and one regional one, and they're names that you'll recognize, like Blue Cross Blue Shield, United, Centene, WellCare is one. And they will take over our mild to moderate populations and manage the physical and behavioral. So currently we do the mild to moderate, we do the more severe. They will essentially take the mild to moderate members. And then that will leave the LME MCOs to become tailored plans. That will be our new name. And we will manage those with the more severe needs. The way it will be different for us is we will be adding in the physical health in addition to the behavioral health. So let me move on to the next slide. And we'll talk about the timeline on this in just a minute. So once the standard plans are launched, it will be a year until the tailored plans begin the management of the physical health for the more severely disabled. As the law stands right now, the tailored plans must be operated by current LME MCOs, and that's really important. What is potentially different is that there are currently seven MCOs, LME MCOs in the state. And the way the law reads, there can be 5 to 7. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Once those awards are made, the contract will be for 4 years. And after that 4 years, then anyone, including the existing tailored plans, can bid. So the tailored plans, which is what East Point hopes to be, plans to be, that process is underway. But there's currently some work being done on this, and you may have heard about this. So what the Department of DHHS has asked is for the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners to help determine what the regional boundaries are going to be and how many they're going to be. There is currently a committee of county commissioners that has been appointed across the state. There are 15 people on that. We were allowed to appoint one from our board, and that person is Rob Boyette from Wilson County. And then there is another person who was selected, and I'm not really sure how, but they were selected from Bladen County, just a commissioner at large that does not serve on our board was appointed to the committee. So we have two people from our 10 counties, and they're working on what the regions will look like, how many there will be. There is a minimum threshold of number of enrollees that we have to qualify, and that number is 12,000. We do have more enrollees than that once the mild to moderate population is removed. So we do qualify to be a tailored plan. And so the current plan is that the application process to become a tailored plan will roll out next February, so a little less than a year now, and those applications will be due back in May of 2020. So we're a year out on this. There's a timeline for you there, and it talks about when the the standard plan RFP responses were submitted when the awards were announced, and that was in February, so not long ago. So between February and this November that's coming up in 2019, they're going to do all this work for the phase one launch of standard plan. The second phase comes on in February of 20. The only county out of our 10 that is scheduled to move their mild to moderate in phase one is Wilson County. All the remaining 9 counties will go in phase two. I don't have this on my slide, but it is worth noting that some of the commercial plans that did not get chosen are currently in appeal on that. So we will see what that does to the timeline for launch of the standard and then how it might affect the launch of the tailored plans. But now, this is the current information and this is what we're operating with.
Sarah.
Yes, sir.
Once it is launched here in 2020.
2021.
How long will it be before we are effective?
So,
it's launched then.
So you'll be affected as soon, let's just say this timeline is correct. You'll be affected beginning in February of this coming year.
2021.
Because the mild to moderate population that we currently serve the behavioral health care needs will be pulled to the standards. So we're going to see this summer people who maybe are getting outpatient treatment or some of the less severely impacted, they're going to be asked to choose a commercial plan to get their mild to moderate services. And they'll move over as quickly as February. We actually went end of last week to our rate setting meeting that the state does with us, and then the actuaries come in and determine our rates. So they've already done some complicated calculations around what our rates will be during this transition period. So the mild to moderate will go in February 2020, and then we will take over the physical health in the summer of 21, and that'll be the real difference. And again, this is for the Medicaid population. We will continue to provide the services just as we always have for the state-funded members, even once the commercial plans come online. The NCOs will retain the state funds. I know it's a lot of information. Please ask me any questions that you may have, and if I can't answer, we'll get an answer. So that is it for my presentation. Ms. Judge, what did I forget that you would ask?
Well, I have a question.
Oh, no.
And one might think that I would know the answer since I've been hearing this one at the board meetings. But it just occurred to me, are they talking about adding more medically oriented staff to the regular behavior health services staff?
So I think that's a great question. And I think it's inevitable that we will. And I'm thinking probably, well, we haven't seen the application yet. But again, always remember, we're not providing the services. So most of that physical health, we will go out and contract, just like we do now for the behavioral health providers. But I think in the area of care coordination, and probably in our utilization management, where we review services, clearly we're going to need more medically trained staff to have the knowledge to do that. Great question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
One thing that you forgot to mention is the kiosks.
Ah, yeah. So in each of our counties, I believe in each of our counties now, we have what we call our kiosks. And in Duplin County, it's located, I think, just right around the corner in the DSS. And
is that the medical?
Health department. But what it is, it's just a little booth, and someone who would like to do an assessment, maybe who's come in to the health department for whatever reason, it offers confidentiality, and they can go into the booth, take an assessment that helps them determine kind of where they are on a continuum of need, and then they can also pick up a phone that is right there in the booth and connect it and connect to our call center to set up services. And that's it in a nutshell. And we appreciate Duplin County sponsoring one of those kiosks. So thank you for that. Any other questions, comments?
No, we'd like to thank you for your presentation.
No, thank you very much. I know you had a full schedule tonight, so I appreciate it very much.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Bory, you're up next, ma'am.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
I'm here to talk about a parcel 12E72. On August 2nd, 2017, the county became the high bidder of this property at a tax foreclosure sale for $2,865.95. We've been offering this property for sale since that period of time. Over the last couple weeks, Mr. Williams came to my office to address this property. He owns an adjoining property to this. He addressed the current condition of the property and whether or not the value of the property was correct. We spoke to Mr. Rose with the tax office, and he agreed to go out with one of his appraisers to look at the property. After doing that, it was determined that this 0.3-acre property really only had a tax value of $100. Mr. Williams has offered that to purchase the property. If the board so authorizes, I'd like permission to advertise for upset bids the offer pursuant to 160A-269.
So moved. Second. Okay, I've got a motion and proper second to authorize the county attorney to advertise for upset bids the offer to purchase approximately 0.3 acres of county-owned property located off Isham Frederick Road in Magnolia Township, parcel number 12-E072 pursuant to NCGS 160A. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. All right, thank you. When it passes. Mr. Brinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, I'm here before you to ask for your permission to advertise and fill a vacant Cabin Lake Park superintendent position. Our superintendent, Mr. Stephen Wilson, will be retiring effective May the 1st. And since he's the only full-time employee we have at the park, I would like to go ahead and start advertising.
So moved. Okay. I've got a motion and proper second to approve to advertise and fill a vacant Cabin Lake Park superintendent position. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Davis, I would like for us to keep Stephen and his family in our prayers. He's got a long battle ahead of him, and he's been a valuable employee to this county, and we're very grateful for his service.
Thank you, and I'm staying in touch with him through his family. I would like for you now to allow Ms. Chestnut to come forward and discuss the county audit contract.
Okay, Ms. Chestnut, just come up.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Before you, I have a proposed amendment to the annual audit contract. I'm not sure if you're aware, but every year, if you do not submit your audit by October 31st of the following fiscal year, the Treasurer's Office requires you to do a contract amendment with an updated date that you will turn in your audit. So I have had several conversations with our auditor. You're aware of some of the issues that I have had with getting reports in timely. And our auditor's office was flooded during Hurricane Florence, so they were out of place and got behind severely with us and other customers of theirs that are municipalities and counties. And what I'm asking you to do is give me permission, or the, give the chairman permission to sign this amendment. And what you're signing to is we cannot submit our final audit information and have it approved by the treasurer's office unless we have this amended contract signed. Now, it does say on it that the, also it notates the Tourism Development Authority, and you're not signing on their behalf. There's a section on page 3 for their chairman to sign that, but because they're a component unit that we have to do an audit on and present in our financial statements, we also have to have them included in this amendment contract.
Okay. I have a motion to allow Ms. Tracy Chestnut, the finance director, to request a proposal amendment to audit accounts and for the chairman to sign.
What's the date on here? A lot of our due date, is that when we will have it?
They have promised me by the end of April, so by April 30th, they're going to give me a draft audit for me to review, and then this is the due date by which they will submit that information to the treasurer's office, and then my plan is to have them on the May 20th agenda for the commissioners. They will be on site here to complete the rest of the site work on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, the 16th and the 17th.
Tomorrow mm-hmm. and Wednesday.
Yep.
And they will have it to Farwell's office on?
By the 15th of May.
On May, yeah.
And they have promised me a draft audit by the end of April, so that I can review and ask any questions before the final submission to the state.
And then it will be brought back to us on
the May 20th, if I have that as the correct date for the second commissioner's meeting in May.
So it'll be modified by the 15th.
It should be submitted to the state for approval by then.
So moved.
Any further discussion? Those in favor say aye. Those against their name? No. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Duke, do you have any further?
I have a few announcements for the board, if I may, Mr. Chairman. I just want to remind you that A Taste of Duplin will be held at the Event Center on Friday, August the 26th from 5:30 to 9. The event will showcase food and wine from Duplin County, as well as vendors from various shops and boutiques, and we'll also have some Duplin products there. Saturday, April the 27th is a busy day in Duplin County. The town of Warsaw will have their annual Farm Fest from 10 to 6 that day. It'll be held at the Memorial Park, and we'll celebrate our farmers and our local agricultural economy. The Cowan Museum of History and Science, in conjunction with Liberty Hall, will hold an Earth Day celebration on the museum grounds. That will be Saturday, April the 27th from 11 to 3. Also at Liberty Hall from 11 to 3, they will have their Heritage Day, where you can learn about the skills and crafts of people from the 1800s. And also on the 27th, from 6 to 8 that night, the Kings Hill Eastern Missionary Baptist Association, or as it's more commonly known, KEMBA, will hold a concert at the Duplin County Event Center featuring the gospel artist J.J. Harrison. The following weekend is the Strawberry Festival in Wallace. It will be held in downtown Wallace on both Friday and Saturday, May the 3rd and the 4th. Friday night's entertainment includes the Johnson Boys and also the Band of Oz, and that's from 6 to 11 on Friday night, and then the Saturday events start at 11 and go through 10:30 p.m. that night. Also on May the 4th, the Cy Farm Day will be held from 10 to 3 at the Tarkle Branch Farm Homestead Museum. This event is sponsored by Tarkle Branch and also the Cal Museum of History and Science, and it combines farm activities with science. Tarkle Branch is located on Fountain Town Road out of Buellville. Those are all the announcements I have, Mr. Chairman. I would like to again request that the board go into closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3 for legal matters.
I make a motion we go into closed session.
Okay, did you mention the plant garden on the 25th?
I did not, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for that. If you could you make the announcement for me?
Okay, on April 25th, at 5 to 6:30 p.m. at Joanne Cowan Brown with the Cowan Museum. It's called the Joanne Cowan Brown Native Plant Garden. They'll have a garden out there that you can go to, and that's if it doesn't rain. And you need the RSVP, so if anybody wants to get the flyer, I have one here. Or just ask somebody. Okay, at this time, I'll entertain a motion to go out of open session into closed session.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion to go out of open into closed session. Those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. We are in closed session. Somebody here?
No.
No, you need to. She needs to make a motion.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Okay. I need a motion to authorize the county attorney and the tax collector to settle the tax appeals of Kennedy Solar, LLC, and Innovative Solar.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to authorize the county attorney and tax collector to settle the claim with, was it Kennedy?
Kennedy
Solar and Innovative Solar in reference to the tax bill. Those, any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries. It passed. Is that it? All right. I need a motion to adjourn.
Also moved.
Second.
So I got a motion in the proper second to adjourn this meeting to May 6, 2019 at 6 p.m. Hopefully everybody will be here.